to Godfrey.
Good morning. Please take your seat. Let me just get my holy water. Yeah, how many of you know Peter Popoff? You know, he was selling this miracle water. And that's it. It was Marilyn's first time of anchoring today. I think you did great, Marilyn. Well done, Marilyn. And congrats to Janita and Matt as well. I need to come for some tips from you, Matt. You moved really fast. I need to come get some tips from you. I will do that. Shall we pray? Father, I thank you so much for this privilege of being in your presence. It's such an honor, Lord. And I ask that, Father, you would use me to communicate your word this morning, not to the best of my ability, but Lord, the way you want it to be communicated. I pray that, Lord, your purpose at the end will be established after this. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, without wasting much time, can we go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 7? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 7. I'm sure it's a verse that you are very familiar with. It's one of my favorite verses, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 7. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes." Do not be wise in your own eyes. You know, there are times you think you know it all. At times you think you can pull a fast one on God. But it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. I remember when we were children, we would our parents would tell us to go to bed, and we would go to bed, but then we wouldn't sleep. We'd do anything but fall asleep. And so you'd be playing maybe games or something, and then you hear them coming, and then you quickly close your eyes to see if you're sleeping. Because you hear them coming, they will open the door and they would know you're awake. They would just shake their head and then just go back. You know, they've all been there before. But I heard a story, or I read a story the other day about three students who did not prepare for their exam. And so they came up with a plan to lie to their lecturer. So they turned up late for the exam. They went to their lecturer and said, "Look, we are so sorry we turned up late. You know, we knew the exam was in the evening, but because we had a wedding in the day, we thought we'd go to the wedding and then come straight to write the exams, but on our way, our car broke down, and so we are late." The lecturer just looked at them, didn't say a word. I mean, if I was a lecturer, I would say, "But you knew you had an exam. Why go to a wedding in the first place? Or even if your car broke down, I'm sure there are other alternatives by which you, you know." He didn't say anything. He said, "Okay, come back in 3 days and take the exams." So they came back after 3 days. They were very prepared, ready to write the exam, and what the lecturer did was, he put them in three different rooms, and he gave them the exam paper. Now, when they flipped the paper over, there was only four questions on there. Four. They were really surprised. Four questions. And then the first question was, "Whose wedding did you go to?" Each question carried 25 marks. The question was, four questions. "Whose wedding did you go to? Where was the wedding? What car were you driving? And where exactly did the car break down?" Now you can tell they all got it wrong, and so they all failed. But you know, at times we think we are wise in our own eyes, but we shouldn't, because they know better than we do. Anyway, back to my verse. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." It says, "In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path." Trust in the Lord. When I read this scripture, normally, anytime I read scripture, what I say to myself is, who wrote this scripture? Why did they write it? Under what circumstance did they write it? I ask myself all these questions because I try to be part of what is going on. So I say, who wrote this? Why did they write it? And what was the purpose? Because clearly, God didn't write this. It was the man who wrote this. And I'm thinking, who is this man who wrote this scripture that to say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding? And so as I was researching, I found out that there was also another person who was keen on this person. They had heard about this person and they're researching this person. So I traced the steps to 1 Kings chapter 10. Liz, please. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1. And I'm reading from the Amplified Version. If you've got the Amplified, Liz, I'll be great. Now he says, when the queen of Sheba heard of the constant connection of the fame of Solomon with the name of the Lord. When the queen of Sheba, now the queen of Sheba was a woman of great wealth, of power and beauty. And somewhere in Ethiopia or Yemen, I think. He says, when she heard of the fame of Solomon with the name of the Lord, she became, when the queen of Sheba heard of the constant connection of the fame of Solomon. Now there's a connection there. That because he's connected to God, he is what he is. So when she heard it, it says she came to prove him, to test him with hard questions. Now you see, anything you read, you've got to test it. Anything you see, you've got to test it. I remember some time ago, I got a text message with a link, and I followed the link. When I followed the link, it led me to a page. And on the page, this is what it said, breaking news, Joyce Meyer dies at 73. I'm thinking, what? And I didn't even pause to find out the origin of the information. I started reading. I got so hooked. I started reading. It was only after that I found out that the origin of that information wasn't right. I found out that the origin, at times when we read something, we need to find out where it's coming from. We need to look for the source of where the information is coming from. Somebody say, check the source. Check the source. Check the source. You need to find out where the information is coming from. Yeah. Because if it's tested, then you know it can be trusted. If that site is not tested, it can't be trusted. You know. So I got nearly hooked up with it, but later on I found out that no, it was false information. So this one, she's heard about Solomon, and she's thinking, you know what, I've heard, but I need to test him and find out and see if all that I'm hearing about Solomon is correct. So she goes and says, she comes to prove him with hard questions, problems, and riddles. Next verse, please. Now he says, when she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels bearing spices, very much gold and precious stones. When she had come to Solomon, she communed with him about all that was in her mind. Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing hidden from the king, which he failed to explain. Even there were things that she didn't even tell Solomon, but Solomon picked it up. When the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom and skill, the house he had built, the food on his table, the sitting of his officials, the standing at attention of his servants, the apparel, his cupbearers, his ascent by which he went up to the house of the Lord, or the burnt offering he sacrificed, she was breathless and overcome. When she saw all that, she couldn't stand anymore. This is way too much for her. So she said to the king, it was true. It was a true report I heard in my own land of your acts and saint and wisdom. I did not believe it until I came and saw it with my own eyes. And behold, half was not even told me. It means all that he heard, when he eventually came to test it, she hadn't even seen half of it. So you have added wisdom and goodness exceeding the fame I heard. Happy are your men. Happy are these, your servant, who stand continually before you, hearing your wisdom. Now, this is Solomon. This is a man not only did he have wisdom, he was rich, he was powerful. He had everything going for him. You know, he had so much wisdom. There's a chap in the Bible called Ahithophel. I don't know if you've heard of Ahithophel. He was David's advisor. The Bible says anytime that guy talks, when you go to him for advice and he talks to you, you almost think that God himself has spoken to you. That is how much wisdom he carried. Yeah. But he was even nowhere near Solomon. Solomon was... His throne, the Bible says his throne was made of pure ivory with gold overlaying it. You know, if he had MTV in his day, this guy would go on MTV Cribs. And I tell you what, it would take probably a day to tour his house. I mean, if he had cars, he would pimp all the cars. He would pimp his watches. He would pimp everything. Even the cup he drank from, it was pure gold. That was how great this guy was. There's nothing, he was almost perfect. And this is the guy who is saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Now he says, lean not on your own understanding. He's talking about a support system here. Lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own wisdom. Lean not on your own strength. Lean not on your own business. Lean not on your own finances. Because just in case one day, whatever you are leaning on falls, then you are going to fall as well. So he said, look, I've got all these things, but I've realized that you should not lean on your own understanding. You should not lean on your own wisdom. You should not lean on your own discernment. You should not lean on that. Because in case that thing gives way, you will fall. It says, do not lean on your own, but in all your ways, acknowledge him. Recognize the importance of God in your life. Recognize the importance of God in everything you do. Recognize the importance of God in your relationship. Recognize the importance of God in your finances. Recognize the importance of God in your businesses. Then he will direct your path. So I find it interesting that somebody, he's got everything he wants. He's got wisdom. That even any time he speaks, you think God himself has spoken. Yet this man is saying, look, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So who am I not to take his advice? Who am I not to follow what he's saying? And now the fact that he says God will direct your path, if you do that, God will direct your path or he will make your path straight, tells me one thing, that at times it's possible to have a path that is not straight. It's possible to have a path that is not direct. It's possible to have a path that keeps going around in circles and circles and circles. And he's saying, look, if you're going to trust God with all your heart and not lean on your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all you do, recognize him in all you do, God is going to direct your path. Now watch this. The fact that you're on a path tells me that it's taking you somewhere. Every path leads you to somewhere. Every path leads to an outcome. Okay. Now that is where God wants to take you. You're on a path that he wants to take you somewhere. You're on a path that he wants to take you on a destination. But there are times, you know, you can be on a path. Everything can be going right, but it wouldn't necessarily mean that it is God's will for your life. And there are times that things could be going wrong, but it wouldn't necessarily mean you're on the wrong path. So at every point in time, as you go through the path of life, you need to take inventory of your life every now and then and say, God, am I on the right path or not? Am I on the right path or not? I just want to take you to Numbers chapter, 20 verse 7. I just want to show you something here. Numbers chapter 20 verse 7. Numbers chapter 20 verse 7. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water, that you shall bring water for them out of the rock, and give drink to the congregation and their animals. Can I have it in the Amplified, list, please? So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron assembled the congregation before the rock. And Moses said to them, hear now, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand with the rod, and he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their livestock. Now this was what was happening. The children of Israel were at a point where they needed water to drink. It had happened before in the wilderness where they were so thirsty. And when it first happened, God instructed Moses to hit the rock for the water to flow. And so that's what he did. Now, the same thing is happening again. But this time God said to Moses, I don't want you to hit the rock. I don't want you to hit it. I want you to speak to the rock instead. Instead, speak to the rock. But for some reason, it looks like Moses was angry with the children of Israel. So he goes and goes, you rebels, what's wrong with you? And instead of speaking to the rock, he hits the rock, not once, but twice. And yes, the water flows, just as God intended it. It flowed more than they could even think about. It says it came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their livestock. So there was abundance there here. And the point I want to make is, look, the outcome, God's intention was for the water to flow. And when Moses hit the rock, the water flowed all the same. So the outcome was achieved, but the process was wrong. Do you understand? The outcome was achieved, but the process was wrong. And that's what I'm saying. At times in life, you know God wants you to prosper. You know the outcome, but the process to that prosperity might not be what you are thinking. Now he thought he knew better than God. He wanted to be wise in his own eyes. He thought he would rely on his own understanding, and he hit the rock. And yes, the outcome was achieved, but the process was wrong. And that's what I'm saying. At times you can do that. And we find ourselves in situations like that. But with God, I'll show you something quickly in Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. It says, when Pharaoh let the people go, this was when now eventually Pharaoh decided to let the children of Israel go. This was a journey, mind you, it was a journey that was supposed to take, I think, 11 days, but it ended up taking 40 days. So eventually he let them go. He says, God led them not by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was nearer. For God said, lest the people change their purpose when they see war and return to Egypt. Now, God was taking the children of Israel from Egypt into the promised land, Canaan. There was a shorter way. There was a shorter way. But God says, no, I'm not going to do that. Because when I do that, they might encounter the Philistines. And they might change their mind as a result and go back to Egypt, the very place I'm trying to take them out from. So instead, I will take them through the long process. I'll take them through the long process. It might not make sense. It might not make any good understanding. But I have to do that because I know these guys. Even though I've told them that, look, do not be afraid. I'll be with you. I know that they would go back when they face any sort of obstacles. Even though I know that I'm going to be with them, they will still change their mind anyway and go. But I want to tell you today that, look, if the process is long, it's not because God wants to deny you of anything, but it's because he knows what you might encounter, and that is why he's taking you around. Now watch this. So there is a purpose in the process, and that's what you've got to realize. There is a purpose in the process. God doesn't do anything just for the sake of doing it, because he knows that, look, if I let these guys go the way they are going, there are things that might happen that they will cause them to change their mind. So I am going to take them the long way, at least that way I know that they would get there. There's no way I'm letting them go back to Egypt where they're suffering. I'm no longer letting them go to Egypt where they're going to be slaves. I'm taking them out and I'm not going to let them go back. So when God takes you through a process, you've got to understand that there is a purpose. Now, you might not always understand the purpose, but that is, you see, in this, God is revealing the purpose why he took them through the long route. He doesn't always do that. He doesn't always do that. He doesn't always reveal the purpose in the process. There are times you just have to stand in faith and believe him. So here, thankfully, he's revealing the purpose in the process. You see, and God is saying today, look, maybe there's something that you've been believing him for that is taking so long. Maybe you're thinking, well, how come everyone is getting married and I'm not? How come everybody's marriage seems to be blossoming and mine's not? How come everybody's business seems to be working and mine is not? And God is saying, look, I'm taking you through a process. And it's not just about the process, but there's a purpose in the process. And that is why I want you to take your time and just see what I'm doing through you. Hallelujah. And so I'm here just to encourage somebody today that I don't know what it is that you are going through. It could be your education. It could be anything you're believing God for. Maybe the process seems longer than it should take. But God is saying, look, there is a purpose in the process. There is a purpose in the process. I can't tell you the number of times that in the Bible you see Jesus healing people who are blind. Now, there are times that he would just touch their eyes. There are times that he would just speak. There are times that he would just mix some mud with his saliva and just paste it on their eyes and get them healed. The outcome is the same, but the process was different for everybody. The process was different for everybody. Look, when Naaman, the Syrian army commander, when he wanted to get healed, he went to the man of God, and the man of God said, look, go and wash 7 times in the Jordan. He could easily have touched him and said, be healed. He could easily have said, look, do that 9 times or 10 times. But he said, do that 7 times. You know, it's not so much the outcome, but it's the process that leads. And that's what God watches. Who knows? Maybe God wanted to teach that guy some lessons in humility. Nobody knows. Nobody knows that. So always look at the purpose in the process. Always look at that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll show you something here in 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. It says, when King David dwelt in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies. Next verse, please. The king said to Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. Now, this is David. David had come into God's rest. You know, God had given him a break from all his enemies. He was fine. He was living in really nice houses and everything. And then he said, look, I'm living in really nice houses, but the house of God is not in ruin. It's not where it's supposed to be. I want to build something for God. And then he decides to build a temple for God. So he consults Nathan, the prophet at the time. And Nathan said, look, do whatever it is that's in your heart. But it says, that very night, next chapter 4, verse 4, please. That night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan saying, go tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, shall you build a house? Shall you build me a house in which to dwell? For I have not dwelt in a house since I brought the Israelites out of Egypt to this day, but I have moved about with a tent for my dwelling. Stop there. Look, God was saying, look, I don't want you to build me a house. Even though the idea was good, he had got to a point which he thought, you know what? And I thought that was a good idea of David to do. Look, he's got to a point, he said, look, I need to build something for God, which is good. So he was on a path that he thought, you know what? Let's do this for God. Let's do this for God. But God is saying, look, that is not my will for you. That is not my will for you. I've got someone else to do that for me. And that's what I'm saying. There are times that certain things will come here. There are times even you could be in a situation where people would come and give you money. It's not always God's will for you probably to take the money. There's been places that Pastor Paul is ministered at where people have given him offering. No, he's refused. You've got to be sensitive on this path of life that you're going on because God always knows what he's doing. We may not always understand. And so he thought it was a good idea. And personally, I didn't think there's anything wrong with him building a temple for God. But he's saying, no, look, that's not what I want. I've got somebody else to do this for me. I don't want you to. Now, in those days, God will come and dwell in temples. But he doesn't dwell in temples anymore. The Bible says our bodies are his temple. So as we build this temple, we need to consult him at every point in time. We need to stop and consult him at every point in time. Because there are times that you may be taking a particular path and think, wow, this is God's path for me because everything is going well. It may not necessarily be the case. So you just need to stop at every point in time and consult God every time. Take inventory of your life and say, God, is this your will for me? Should I take this path or should I not take this path? You know, if you look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking path which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live in. Now, this tells me something, that God already has a path for us. It's all prearranged. It's all prearranged. That's where the good life is. All you have to do is to find out where that path is so you walk in it. It will make life so easy for you. It says, look, it says that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So your purpose, your duty is, look, say to God, God, where is the path that you have for me? Where is the path that you have for me? Where's the prearranged path that you have for me? And anytime you walk on a path that God has already endorsed, even when you have challenges, it wouldn't be that bad because he will give you the strength to go through it. And that's the difference. But when you take a path that he hasn't endorsed, when you take a route that he doesn't approve, that is when challenges and troubles come and you don't understand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. David says something in Psalm 3, verse 3. Psalm 3, verse 3. The book of Psalms 3, verse 3. It says this, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. Now, if you trust in God with all your heart, and if you don't lean on your own understanding, that is what happens. He becomes your shield. He becomes your glory, and he becomes the lifter of your head. He says, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. You, O God, are a shield for me. He shields you from problems and situations. He delivers you because you decide to consult him. He says, you are my glory. Just imagine the glory of God upon your life. And he says, the lifter of my head. You just walk along your path with no shame because it's lifted your head up. You walk up without shame. You walk with your head held up high. And that is what he's saying. He says, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. And so if you're going to trust God, trust him with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. If you're going to acknowledge him in all you do, this is what you're going to say in the end. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me. But you, O Lord, are my glory. But you, O God, are the lifter of my head. Hallelujah. 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 And this morning, God wants to say this. God wants to say, see, there's this story that Ofapi shared with me some time back. This was when he was in Ghana. He said he got really, really, really ill. Really sick. Nothing he tried worked. He went to hospitals. They prayed, they fasted, they did all that they could, and nothing was working. Nothing was working. So eventually, God gave somebody a dream. And in the dream, he instructed the guy to go somewhere in the woods and pick up some leaves. And with those leaves, he cooked for Prempeh. And then the moment he ate, suddenly, he became well. Now, this is somebody who was almost at the point of death. Now you think God would have healed him with prayer or anything, but instead, no, that's not what he did. He instructed somebody to go through a dream to go and pick up some leaves and cook for him and get him healed. You know, now you think, why does God do that? But there's always a purpose in the process. There's always a purpose in the process. When Moses hit the rock, instead of speaking to it, you don't even know who was there at that point, who was going through some stuff with God. And maybe God was just saying, look, at times, it's not always what you do, but it's what you say at times that brings my miracle. And so God said, you know what, you disgraced me before these people. Because when I say something, it's not because I want to say it for the sake of doing it. There's nothing that I do without any purpose. Any process that I put you through is because there's a purpose in there. Because you don't know man's heart, and you don't know what it is that someone was going through at that time. That's why God instructed it. And so I just want to encourage you this morning. Like I said before, look, I don't know at what stage you are in your life. I don't know what path you are in life. And I don't know where the path is taking you. But I know there is an outcome that God wants to take you. But your process will be different from my process. So don't compare what you go through to what I'm going through. Because God has a different plan for everybody. The what you've got to acknowledge here is the purpose in that process that God is taking you through. Hallelujah. Shall you rise on our feet, please? As we stand before God this morning, I believe this is a word for somebody. And I just want to pray this morning that maybe if you're here for any reason, you've come out of the path that God has for you, that he will redirect your steps back onto the path that he has for you. Because otherwise you'd be going in circles and in circles and in circles, and you think, God, what is happening? How come I'm never getting to the end of the road? He says, if you acknowledge me, not only will I make your path straight, but I will make it plain as well. Also, you could be here this morning, and things may be going well. But like I said, every now and then, you just have to stop and take inventory of your life and say, Lord, is this the right thing? Just because everything is going well doesn't always necessarily mean God is in it. The way God has a plan for you, Satan at times has plans for us as well. And it could be a decoy. And so as we stand in his presence this morning, I just want you to lift up your hands to him this morning. And as we sing, as Toby leads us to sing this chorus, I just want you to surrender completely to God. He says, look, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your thinking are not, it's not my thinking. I just want you to surrender everything to God this morning. Maybe you're on a path that feels like it's going round in circles and in circles. Or maybe you're on a path that you never seem to see the end. Or you may be on the right path even, but it's nothing just seems to make sense at the moment. And God is saying, look, don't you worry. There is a purpose in this process. As we sing this, I want you to reach out to God and say, God, redirect my path. Redirect my path to align with your will and your purpose for me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift every single person here into your hands, Father. But I thank you that you know the plans and the purposes that you have for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we come, as we stand before you today, Lord, let's surrender to you this morning. And I pray that, Father, if anyone here is on a path of God that is not in line with your will for them, I ask that, Father, you will redirect their path of God to align with your purposes and your plans for them in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that, God, you give them the strength, the wisdom, and the understanding of God, the need of God, the patience of God to recognize your purpose of God and whatever you are doing for them, Lord. Oh, Jesus. But I thank you, God. I give you all the glory, Father. I thank you, Father, for the work that you've started in your children. I thank you, oh God, for this new beginning, oh God. I give you all the glory, Father, and I give you all the praise, God, in the name of Jesus.